Schwartz?
Yeah.
Hartke?
Here.
Kibler?
Here.
Maxwell? Quisenberry? Rosales?
Here.
And James?
Here.
We've already talked about this so many times. I've talked to you personally. I've sent you letters about it. I don't have anything new to add. I would just ask, as you look at it and think about what we've done the last 2 years, simply putting out the RFQ to see what's available out there and what it might cost to have somebody look at this. It's really not going to cost anything except a little bit of our time. I would hope you would do that. I would hope you'd take it the next step then and actually engage an expert so we can look at this stuff. And see what can be done and what it might cost. Can we afford to do it? If you got questions, I'll be happy to answer, but otherwise I'm just repeating what we've all talked about so many times.
First, let's get a motion on the floor.
So moved.
Second. Now that we have a motion and a second, we'll have a discussion. Rachel?
I just have a quick question. The sheriff has repeatedly said that there is really no good way to estimate beds, and I'm not sure why the RFQ is asking. I have no objections. I mean, we need the RFQ. It's fine. I'm just curious why one of the things we're asking is for the company to estimate how many beds we need when you told us, and I agree with you, that there is really no way to estimate. I mean, you even said it yesterday, I think. New state's attorney, new presiding judge, summer, winter, mental health, whatever. Why are we even asking them to estimate?
I assume whoever we hire will be the guy with the briefcase. I mean, I frankly think that anybody here who studies it can make as good a projection as the expert, but I'm assuming as part of this package he isn't going to charge us much more to give us his or her opinion on it. Frankly, if they didn't give us a bed estimate, I wouldn't care that much. I would like, but the other part is detailed about how many, for lack of a better word, how many mental health beds does the expert think we need, how many medical beds. I can make projections, but I would rely on those issues like somebody else's projections too.
I was thinking that no matter what, based on the trends,
based on the trends that we've seen in the report, and basically that's probably the data that they will be looking at, I mean, you still need to know if you're going to reconfigure a space or a building, you know, what you might need to anticipate. You don't want to cut yourself short, because then we'll be coming back all the time. So it's better to have some information than no information. Go ahead.
I understand it, and I understand that to have a design, you need to have a number. I'm just saying, I don't like that thing that somehow we rely, just because it's a consultant that gets paid, their number is any better than yours, that's all. I mean, so we all understand that they are as clueless as we are. I mean, not in general. I mean, in general, we have numbers, but you know what I mean.
So I do.
I don't like, because once you have a number and it came from the expert, it becomes a number that's holy, that we can't ever question, whereas I don't know, I don't think I trust them any more than I trust you. So that's all.
Boy, the way she said that last line, I think she hurt my feelings.
Rosales, another question in your microphone. You got
to push it. Oh, great.
Don't grab it by the stem.
Unlike the other ones that red is on, green is on. Okay, green is good. My question is that, are we looking at the existing sites of the downtown jail and the satellite jail, or are we looking at other possible ulterior sites such as minimum security? I think Cal had mentioned some of the local hotels that were closed down that we could probably purchase and do, you know, more minimum detention and other avenues. Are they going to look at the whole picture, or are they just going to look at the facilities and then propose some addition or some changes to those existing facilities?
I, with all due respects, looking at abandoned hotels or available hotels is only going to exacerbate our problem, because we are going to have to staff that and maintain another facility. The other problem, we actually looked into this back in 2002, 2003, when our numbers were skyrocketing and I was thinking we'd have to board out of county. We actually looked into the Holiday Inn Junior up in Rantoul, because they wanted to rent a space. They even offered us a counselor to help with the security, and we went to DOC, and they said, you can't do that. That does not meet jail standards. You just flat can't do it. So I understand Cal has all these great ideas, but we sure don't want to staff a third institution or facility.
So the primordial goal is basically the existing site that we have for the satellite and expanding that, not creating a second or third floor in the downtown jail, like an exterior shell structure that would sit on top of currently what we have, which I think at one time or another it was discussed. We're thinking of getting rid of that building, whatever we decide to do with that, and that's part of the RFQ, and look and focus our energies and concentration on the existing site of the satellite that we have today, perhaps creating a more functional pod that would include mental health, that it would include women, that would divide the inmate population by gender, crime, gangs, and all sorts of recreational and educational services, because I believe that there's not very much recreational activity within the jail. I mean, we don't want them to go there like a health club and pump up iron and challenge some of your officers, but would this space also include a space for education, teaching GED, teaching GSL, where outside organizations could come in and facilitate services and programs of culinary arts? That's what I would like to see, that incorporated in a building that is not just beds.
Right. I've never thought about culinary arts, but the other things, English as a second language, GED, those types of things, AANA, we offer that. The satellite has only one room that we use for everything, including our briefing room. So, yes, when you look at that RFQ, we talk about programs and program space. That's what we're talking about with those types of things. Or if we have reentry people, or if I want to bring in more mental health counselors, those are all fall under our category of programs. That's the second part of what you said. First part, I suspect most experts would say the thing to do is probably to add on the satellite. We have the ground. It was designed for that as a practical matter, unless Ms. Busey still has that big wad of county money hidden out here. You may have to sell the downtown real estate just to help ultimately pay for anything you might do out here.
I know that books for prisoners were limited in the number of spaces that they could utilize in both facilities to store their books that they allowed inmates to utilize. They were storing them over there at the IMC in the basement, and there were a lot of water damage, so a lot of them did get damaged. So a room where not only one program could take place, but probably a multi-purpose room where various activities at one time, maybe even a chapel, could occur.
Right now, we use the same room for everything, including a church, everything. I mean, we just have one. So, yes, I agree with you.
If there's one teacher in there, there would not be an opportunity for another program to come in and do whatever they need to do.
Right. At the satellite, we can only have one at a time because there is just one room.
Would this proposal also include multi-rooms for use for programs?
Yes. Yes. And yes.
More of a procedural question. In the RFQ, it states that we will have a selection committee and so forth, but on the agenda, we really don't identify who those selection committee members are. Is that going to be part of today's discussion, or would that be subsequently later?
It's in the RFQ.
Yeah, option.
Right.
Might just skip over it.
It's not in the RFQ, is it, Deb?
It's somewhere. I thought somewhere where the... bear with me. Yeah, it was in the memo from Van to all of us, dated April 11th. It's in your packet. Your agenda packet. It's right after the minutes. Page 6, I guess, in your agenda. It talks, yeah, talks about who it's going to be. So that would be part of the RFQ, I would. And if I may, is there anything else, Mr. Kibler? Ms. Petrie sent me an email today, and I responded to it. Some of the same questions you brought up, Mr. Rosales, was her concerns. Basically, this is just a study. And the more you want to put into that study is looking at other buildings, and just remember it's cost. Cost, and then like the sheriff said, you have all these other things that go into the mix. We have to stay focused on what we have, and what we're trying to ascertain is what the best use of either building might be or might not be. It's not a simple matter that we've already made up the mind, we're moving it all to the satellite. It's this person is going to come in and tell us, and so we'll look and see, and that was what I thought was going to be part of the last process. And also I noticed, if I may, in our RFQ, there's been some changes that Patsy had wrote in her memo, which they were, and we need to get the terminology correct. We no longer call it the older jail and the satellite jail. We go by different names. Sheriff's Office and Operations, that was opened in 1980, and the other is the newer second jail. I guess that makes it sound prettier when we're going to put it out for RFQ, but we'll go with that.
My questioning yesterday was more along the lines that I just don't want the same mistakes repeated that we repeated 30 years ago when we built jail number one and when we built jail number two, just to expedite a request for proposal, because now is the time and now we need to move forward on this. I feel a little bit more apprehensive that I want to make sure that is very inclusive, that is breaking out of the box. We could, you know, do something great that could be a model for many other communities in Illinois as well across the nation, something that would break the mold. I hate for it to be what it was in the project number one jail, that it was because of low cost that we did a poor building, poor design, poor structure, but we needed one, so we did build it, and now it's inefficient or ineffective after 30 years. And I would like to know the specifics, timelines, and dates of the construction of these buildings and why they have become so obsolete when we had experts building them for us. And the county board seemed a little rushed and underfunded to get this done, so they got it done, but what they got done was another headache, another problem that here 20 years later or 30 years later, we have to do. I mean, Rutgers Island in New York, it's still functional and it's still there. And, you know, I know another prison in Philly that's in the center of the city that is still functioning and is still adequate. I mean, we're not talking like about Alcatraz here, but I know that I don't want to rush into something because, you know, if we have 180 so beds being filled on a regular basis on an average, and we have capacity for 333, that, you know, is there really a rush need to do this? I understand the economic feasibility of hosting one unit where we could have all officers in one unit and everybody contained. It's a lot easier for the staff. It's a lot easier for those involved in it. But I just don't want to anticipate or make a mistake that we're going to have to live for. I would imagine that we will have to look at a project like this for the next 50 years. I would like to see something that will last us at least 100 years, if that possible. And I know, Stan, being a facility committee chair, you said no building is guaranteed for 20 years.
Thank you. I won't have to say it.
Pillars, and it's going to be roofs, and it's going to be tuck pointing, and it's going to be maintenance work. But, you know, that was one of the problems that occurred with building number one, that, you know, we didn't maintain it. And because we did maintain it, it's now probably an opportunity to get rid of it. So that was my concern that I couldn't convey yesterday. I know that, you know, air was tensed, but I just would rather postpone it and have a little bit more time than to jump in at it. I know that this is a timeline, but I'm a little afraid that, you know, come July 1st, we're already contracting for services, you know.
Yeah, my point is really not so much for the RFQ, but more generally for the jail design. My concern is, and I mentioned some of it to the sheriff, that when you start building mental health, whatever you call it, pods or something, and hospital pods and so on, not only does it cost money to build them, not only does it cost money to service people that I'm not interested in having a county hospital, but I'm thinking we're opening ourselves to legal liability. That, for example, Captain Jones mentioned yesterday the TB case, that right now you cannot put in the jail, so it had to be somehow on that ankle bracelet, whatever it's called, electronic home detention. My concern is if we had the reverse, whatever it's called, something, yeah. Let's say that it would be, I don't have any clue if the judge would have put them in jail or not, but right now they couldn't, right? There is no option to put them because of, or in general, any kind of contagious disease. Let's not talk about specific cases. So once you have this reverse something where it's safe to have somebody in isolation, then it's one more degree of freedom for a judge or whoever decides to put them there. And then we have a whole array of one taking care of that person, medicating them, and if something goes wrong and they do infect somebody else. So it's a secondary consideration. I'm just saying it's something to not totally ignore because these are the unintended consequences of, yes, it will be wonderful to service everybody in the world, but there could be other things coming with that. I don't have a solution. I understand that when you get people who are sick, you do need to take care of them. You don't have the option to send them away. I'm just saying the minimum that we absolutely have to do, because obviously, and Captain Jones said, we can't put these people on the respirator, whatever it is we need with the plugs, but somehow we find a solution for that, and we probably have less people than we would have otherwise have. And I know it's not your control. I'm not saying you can do anything about it. But if we build it, and it's huge, and it's wonderful, and we can accommodate everybody in the world, one, we can't afford it, but two, it exposes us, in addition to the operational cost, to legal liability, which I would prefer not to. So, and again, this is way too early to talk about. The RFQ is not a design, but just a more general thought.
I may follow up. Geraldo, you sort of hit the nail on the head. I think the reason we're looking at this is in the report from ILLP, the deterioration of the downtown jail was a main concern. We've got to do something. Are we going to just keep pouring money into it? Or are we going to get a study that is going to tell us definitively yes, no, or whatever? This is just a study. The county board's still going to look at it. Cost factors are going to come in. We've had the other study. That's what precipitated all this with the numbers and the inmates. The sheriff is mandated by laws that I don't think any of us at this table really understand or know why, but he can't just go out and willy-nilly say, well, I'm going to house them here or do this because it's nice. He has to do what he's mandated to do, and he has to also remember to take care of his staff. And Rachel said it quite well. Are we going to get a lawsuit because that's been thrown out? So I think when you look at this RFQ and if you really read it and go through it, to me it makes a lot of sense. And it really breaks it out and refers back to the studies for them to review. That's going to be the person bidding to do their homework or quoting. So if we don't move and we always sit here and second guess, I know when I'm gone, I know when you're gone, and I know when Patsy's gone, the next boards are going to say, what the heck were them people thinking? Because everyone does. It's just human nature. Everyone's got a better ideal. The grass is always greener. So be it. But we're doing the best we can with what we have, and I think you appreciate that. But if we always sit here and just dig, things are crumbling, and when we walk away, the folks that work here, the staff that really have to put their heart and soul into these things, they're giving up because we're not doing what we need to do, and we really need to focus on our buildings and our staff and get these things done. Does that mean move tomorrow? No, but it means we need to move. And if it seems fast to you, it seems awful slow to me. I feel like I've been here hearing this thing for quite some time, and it just never gets off the dime because everyone's got a different idea. Listen, I don't even like studies. I think we have the staff with the expertise. I think they work around it. If my board was constantly telling me how to do my job, I think I would have went to a different job, and they might have been happier. It just gets to the point we got to trust those we have in office and their staff. I don't think to this day that I've ever read a big newspaper article saying we got people running willy-nilly and spending the county's money and putting up buildings that we don't need. Do we sometimes overspend? Yeah. But we're going to watch that closer, hopefully under this watch. I can't answer that because I'm not privy to that.
There were some, but I believe that some of them were corrected. So my question is, currently today, are there any existing violations that we have from the state of Illinois that we're not in compliance with?
Nothing of any significance, and so that I don't want to mislead you. The jail standards apply to all 102 counties. It applies to the 100-year-old Cook County that's nothing but a dungeon and absolutely horrible and generates lawsuits for Sheriff Dart all the time. If DOC got too picky, they have to do it with each one, and they would literally be closing down a lot of these old jails and there's no place for them to go. So they give a lot of flexibility in their rules. So the answer to your question is we have no significant, they're going to close us down violations today or tomorrow. They see problems. They see the same problems that I've talked to you about. In fact, I think in one of the DOC reports, they went into some of the structural issues that we've all been talking about. But they're not going to close us down tomorrow or 6 months from now. If we do nothing, they won't, because they can't. They can't do that to every county. Yeah, they asked us to go up there and do a security study, and it was eye-opening even for us. So you did 5 years there. You know what I'm talking about.
When he says 5 years, did you get parole? Never mind. Patsy? Yeah, it's got to be green. There you go.
There are a couple of things that I would like to at least get out in the ether for people to be thinking about. I have a concern of your comment that there's narrowness of focus and it's just on the jails, because that takes away from one of the ILPP's recommendation, and that is that we have a broader scope as to what is available in spaces throughout the community that might be used for example, the mental health. The second is they're really changing environment related to what can be done in the way of health with Medicare and Medicaid. And so for us to lock into certain aspects right now may be dilatory in the long run, and really, if it doesn't have flexibility to it, then we're stuck with it and it'll just cost us some more money. The next is, as part of our conversation, I really think we should be having some constructive conversation as to the downtown jail building and how it can be used in the long run for various functions. I mean, the sheriff just talked about leveling it and selling it off the property and using that as part of the money. That is one option, but I would think there are other options that can tie in with social services and things related to criminal justice. And then the last is, I share a little bit of Mr. Rosales' concern about moving ahead too speedily, but my concern is related to giving a chance for some of the programs, that the social side of the criminal justice, those programs to be able to get a start and a toehold and see if they are indeed effective, and if they are effective, how that is going to affect the potential jail population. And maybe the timeline of doing this and giving them enough time to get a good start and showing their effectiveness will parallel, but maybe it won't, and I think we need to keep that in mind as we move along on this process and the timeline.
That's in response to yours. I, you know, that holds some merit, but as the sheriff said, that, you know, a lot of, or Alan Jones did, somebody did, that the inmates aren't there long term. So to start some of these programs for GEDs and that, it's not going to be of any use to them. I mean, they'll get their feet wet and then they're gone. And a lot of those other programs, I've said this ever since I've been on this board, we have a variety of programs out there that people can go to. The jail, it's a place where people are put and mandated by state laws. It's not a social service network. I mean, granted, we should do what we can, and we are, and some of the things that were in that report are being instituted, but I feel like this, somehow we're getting off course, and we're wanting to open this up to a maybe a college campus, and it sometimes the average people that I talk to in my neck of the woods and when I'm out and about, you know, they're in favor of some of the things, but we got to be mindful that there's a lot of needs, not just the jail and that. There's education in our communities and buildings. And I don't want to put way too much overemphasis on this, but we need to know. And the bottom line was, it started out, this whole process started out, what is the condition of that jail that is downtown that is the older jail? Is it usable? Is it not usable? What can we do? Can we reconfigure it? I have yet to see a report that definitely tells me, and I ask Mr. Kalmanoff that question. And that's where I'm trying to focus in this RFQ, hopefully, will get us those answers. And the sheriff just said that was one option. He never said that's what we will do. I think when we hear something, I mean, there's been a lot of talk on the table, but the bottom line is, you got to have a person that needs that type of building or is willing to put a lot of money in it. And the thing about buildings that we got to remember, when you go to renovate, you're going to put a lot more in than if you build new, a lot more. And that's not saying get rid of it. Well, there's not a lot of grants out there, and grants are our tax money also. But with that said, anybody else? Okay, we got a motion on the floor and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you. Moving on down the list, Facilities Director Report, approval of ITB 2014-006, installation of air-cooled chillers at the Brookings Administration Center.
Second.
We can have discussion. Anybody have anything to say? Rachel, you weren't here for the tour, but those chillers are old. Well, they're very old. And then Dave, Mr. Brenner, is going to – last – I talked to him about this because last month I wasn't here and there was some talk about hiring an MEP. And this is going to tie in with that, and Dave's going to explain it.
Okay. We did at last month's meeting talk briefly about trying to look for an MEP to assist us in developing a plan for the mechanicals of this building. As we looked at what we thought we needed to get started with, one of the first things was doing an energy analysis of our current equipment. We met with a company that we currently is a vendor of ours. They runs the controls for one of our facilities. They do a lot of this type of work. In addition to that, they have the appropriate people, MEPs, on board in their shop to be able to take a look at the types of equipment and what we think we need for this building and what they think they need for this building. With what we need in terms of two chillers, it's pretty straightforward. We can go in and take a look at what's on the market, what's available, what's energy efficient, and come up with several levels of energy efficiency for that type of equipment. In addition, this particular company that we already work with has the ability to do energy modeling using U.S. Department of Energy's software. Do a nice analysis for us. They have ties. They've been very successful in grant funding with DECO or DCEO. Chillers aren't an outstanding grant opportunity. There is an opportunity, we believe, up to about $19,000 for chillers. There are other things down the road that we could look at. If we're successful with this venture with them, we may take a look at doing this with other HVAC parts and pieces. We have a very antiquated system here in this building in particular. It's all pneumatic controls. When the heat is on, it's on, and it's on for 24 hours. When the cool's on, it's the same way. The air handlers, it's blowing. So we need digital equipment. We need to be able to zone areas within this building to be able to go after and recoup energy efficiency and to provide, quite frankly, a better facility and environment for the people who work in this building. So I'd throw it out. Van, you sat in on some of the meetings. Did I cover most of, I think, what we talked about with Alpha? Any questions?
When they're looking at the chillers, are they also going to be looking at the ductwork that comes off of those to supply the buildings with their heat and cooling?
Well, right now, it's just the chillers, and we'll have to take a look at that when we look at the rest of the parts of the pieces. But we are funded in this fiscal year's budget for replacing the chillers and. Now, the rest of that will have to be looked at as we go down the road, but they will fall in to that and work in tandem with that as we look at the rest of the building.
Well, I know there's been issues in the past with some offices being real cold, some being super hot. Is there any way possible as an alternate bid on this packet may not come in where we can afford it, but where they could do some type of testing, whether it be pressure or smoke, to let us know if we have any severe leakage or breaks somewhere?
We can do some of that on our own and determine that. Keep in mind that the chillers only supply cooled pods 200 and 300.
Right.
Pod 400's got chillers of their own on top. That's the gym and the park district building. RPC's got 13 units here that are rooftop mounted that takes care of it. That's part of the problem with this facility is that it's, there's not one total system that that's operation and working together. And there are controls, even though they would still be separate chillers, air handlers, modern day control systems with variable fans can drive a building so that it's much more energy efficient. With digital controls, you could shut down buildings at night on the weekends. They can be driven. If someone's coming in, obviously they can work with it to improve the air quality or the temperature in the room while they're there. But other than that, it drops down, so it's not on 100%.
And that brings up another question for me when you're talking about RPC and the different units and the gym. Is all of that under the county's replacement?
Yes.
Even the gym?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I just didn't know what the agreement. I think at one time, and correct me if I'm wrong, we were discussing all that, but I don't think it passed. We talked about some type of fee or something for upkeep and maintenance, or no, or I remember something a while back.
They have a lease that goes through 2019, but they have also shared in
No, I just, but when we're talking about some of this equipment, I know it's getting up there in age, and what we're talking about now is big money. This could even be bigger. And one last question, Dana, is the ductwork more ceiling ductwork, or is it any in ground, or do you know?
It's a mix and match. It's
is
a
it?
Little bit of
okay.
Everything.
That's all I have. Anybody else? Okay, we got a motion on the floor and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Next item is the approval of the Elias demolition bid, and it was distributed to us tonight. It's on your desk.
I would make a motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? I see they have an alternate bid in there for removal of the steam pipe.
Steam tunnel. Steam tunnel, and then capping the lines that are there.
Is that something that we need to do, or we're hoping to see where it comes in, or what?
It would be advisable to do that. I think it's within our budget, but it would be advisable to take out the steam tunnel, do that, or you're going to bury it underground and have to deal with it down the road and pay a lot more money for it. The price is $15,000, which I think is pretty reasonable, plus the capping and utilities and filling any holes that are in the other portion of the building and steam tunnel that would be remaining.
And I would just say to that, I know Rantoul has a host of steam tunnels, and that's what they've been dealing with, is getting them out of the, because if you don't, they deteriorate, and then you have other issues. So, okay. But it's within budget. That's all I have. So that you have the bid there. Any other discussion?
Sorry.
Go ahead. The update?
Yeah.
You want to throw that in there?
Yeah, I'll
go ahead. Go right ahead.
Real quick. I reported at the last meeting we did contract with PACA. They did come in. They made two trips in. We not only had a signed contract, there were some liability questions that were raised by this board back in the fall. We had a contractual arrangement that certainly mitigated, I think, most of those issues. In addition to that, individually, the individuals who work for PACA who came in to work signed a liability waiver, and we also had a staff member present while they did their work. They came in on two sessions. They've taken a number of things, several doors, big tub, iron cast tub, countless feet of handrails. Did not take any windows. They took a few lighting fixtures. There was a paging system, speakers in the ceiling that they took five or six of those. Point is, they felt very good about it. They also took some bookshelves that belonged to Elias that we're going to have to go to somewhere to be discarded. We will furnish a wrap-up. They've got one more trip planned prior to demolition. We will furnish everyone with a list of the items that they have taken, but the point is they're very happy about the arrangement, and I think it went very well. So we'll look to continue that when we can.
Thank you, and I'm glad that worked out. Okay, we got a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor?
I just want to make it
very clear in the motion that the motion was for both the base bid and the alternate bid. So, okay, great, thanks.
Okay, you heard Mr. Kibler, so now all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on down to item C, update on the courthouse clock tower.
At the last meeting, I think we invited a few folks out to take a look at the clock face on the west side. Reports came back in from not only the from the former clock committee members who went out and viewed it, but several of you went out and took a look liked what we saw in terms of the clock face. So we're going to move forward with the purchase of the LED lighting for the clock face. We just received in the external fixtures one fixture to do a test run. So next Wednesday, the 23rd, at 8:30, I invite you out to the clock tower. We'll assemble just off of Main there by the base of the clock tower. We'll put a fixture kind of in position and get an idea of what this one fixture will provide in terms of lighting for the exterior of the clock tower. Bruce Hannon will be there, Steve Beckett, and a few other members. So if anyone has an opportunity to come down, please stop by. That's a good thing. That's what we wanted to hear.
I expected one to be yellow and then bright blue. They were pretty much the same.
Yeah. That's the concept, is that you wanted to try and duplicate what the old style fixture, who's an energy glutton, with a new LED fixture. Now we're not trying to make it brighter, and you know, it's just trying to duplicate the intent of what the original lighting levels were, and you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge, but good.
You're driving too fast. Next, we have update on Illinois Green Business Association project.
Pardon me, I'll just pass this around. But we had our first meeting today with IGBW.
Thank you.
So our first kickoff meeting went, I thought, really well. Ryan Wilbur from IGBW led it. You see our committee members, our green committee, as we're calling it, but Deb allowed me to go around and recruit some volunteers for our committee. We attempted to garner some support from some of the larger entities. RPC obviously is one with 100 plus members here in this pod. Andy Rhodes from IT, Corky from Urbana Park District, who's in pod 400, Gordy, and Jeremy are kind of tag teaming it. And then JJ from Auditor, and then Kirk and I. So we'll continue to report back, but we're going through the assessment phase. The beginning information, you'll see they have a checklist that I've attached. It's the same checklist that we're going through to try to identify currently what we do and you know, how we can reach their certification levels. So we'll keep you posted, but we're on route. We have a follow-up meeting next Wednesday, the 23rd, hopefully to get us through the assessment phase, and then we'll sit down and we won't have every two-week, you know, week-to-week meetings, but we'll develop a schedule based on what IGBW feels is adequate to reach our goal, so that in 6 months we have completed the process.
Any questions? Thank you, Dana. Moving on. Other business? Anybody have any other business?
Yes.
Mr. Rosales.
I want to commend Ben Long for the teleconferencing very great thing about it. Waiting time now, I think, more than half the time of the waiting, I think it was 3 hours, now it's more, 20 minutes, a half hour.
It's helped out that, they're getting a lot more visits, and I don't know if it's probably moved to very, one of the very first things we did was your friend and family member from there.
We can do the computer, right?
Yes.
Well, that was just fabulous. It was good publicity, good, you know, good ideas, and it's, you know, keep it coming. And I wanted to commend you for that, and I should have done that yesterday, so.
Great.
I would like to bring up the meeting time. I know we're scheduled to meet at 6:30. Is anybody in here? I'd like to sort of see it at 5:36. Does anybody have a conflict with any of that? Do we want to meet it? Summer's coming on.
I could make 6. I would agree with 6. 6 is good. 5 good.
6.
6 is good. 6 would
be 5 minus 10.
6 okay with everybody?
That
way I can just grab a pop and head down here without having to get dirty. You know how that would be.
Can I ask if that's a reference
okay.
to?
Well, can we have a motion?
I would move that we change our meeting times to 6 p.m.
Point of order, can you do that without a agenda?
It's other business.
You can't have a motion that's not on the agenda.
Okay.
So therefore, I would recommend that we add this to the
agenda.
Okay, so I would like to.
I'd take the heat.
I will make a motion.
I'm not worried about the sheriff or anybody talking to me, but anyway.
I make a motion that May 6th we meet at 6 o'clock as opposed to 6:30.
I withdraw mine and second that motion.
And 6 o'clock on May 6th at the meeting.
Miles Shields meeting room.
Okay, and then we'll also put that on the agenda next time. Okay, so we have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Any nays? Motion passes. Well, that's all that chair's report. The second part of that is tours. Is anybody inclined to suggest another place to tour that they'd like to tour that might be open on Saturday?
Chance of ever getting inside the courthouse and taking a look at the courthouse items?
Sheriff?
A lot harder to get into.
Well, let's put that on the agenda for May the 6th to see when it would be feasible.
Ironically, we just said 6 o'clock, so I imagine the courthouse is going to be a fairly large venue, and we wouldn't be able to come back over here. So I wonder if that's maybe a June item?
Well, I mean, we can discuss it in May to put it.
Oh, okay.
Not do it in May, but discuss it in May. We can see that at night from down below.
From above. So. Mr. Rosales.
Are we just going to tour it and then come back here for the meeting? Okay. Okay, we'll plan it out, and we'll have Van or Deb or somebody contact you. Okay, so we got that rolling. And if anybody thinks of anything else in between time, let us know. Designation of items to be placed on the consent agenda are items 7C, 8A, and 8B. Okay, that takes that one off. And here I was crunching my Roman numbers so I knew what to say.
Everything goes on consent.
8B, okay. That is it. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
And Mr. Brenner, whenever we do the courthouse, it'd be good to see, because we have so much in the exterior that's being worked on, it'd be good to show people.